Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the DDT Archives. I am your host, Chris. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in podcasting, my best friend, everybody's best friend, Greg. Greg, what's going on, dude?
Oh, nothing, my man. How are you? It's a great day. It's a great week. I'm very excited, very fired up for our guests today. This is by far some of the craziest shit we've ever done, so I'm really looking forward to getting rolling.
Today will be fun because we went into the universe and we reunited Ring of Honor's hottest young tag team that the fans needed to get more behind, and we're putting that together right now. We have an inch of space. We have Shaheem Ali, Coast to Coast. What's going on, boys?
Ooh, baby.
What's going on?
What's up, guys?
How's it going, man?
Be back on.
Not much, man. Super excited to talk to all of you. And listen, we're going to start going off the rails right from the jump. The first thing I noticed about Shaheem, besides the fact that he's an awesome wrestler, is the fact that he's a Ghostbusters fan.
Very.
So talk about that a little bit, and then I'll explain to you why that is so unique to Greg and I.
Growing up, you know, everybody has their favorite, you know, cartoon, movie, and all that other stuff. And I guess earlier on, like, I just got really hooked into paranormal stuff as a kid. My mom was just kind of was like, all right, as long as you're not, you know, going out and being crazy about it. Obviously, I was a little kid, but I still had, you know, me and my buddies always would just get along, and we would talk about ghost stories and all that stuff. And then when I finally stumbled upon the real Ghostbusters cartoon, I was hooked from there. And then when I found out there was a movie, that was it, man. I was hooked. I wanted a proton pack. I wanted to, you know, go out there and start busting ghosts like in no time. But yeah, ever since then, man, I don't know. I think anything paranormal, even still to this day, I watch Nukes Top 5, or I watch Sir Spooks on YouTube every week or every 2 weeks when they upload it, because I just love anything with ghosts and paranormal. So yeah, I feel like I'm a Ghostbuster through and through. And I mean, I even got it tatted, of course, on my arm. I mean, people can't see it, but if you go look at my pictures or watch us wrestle, you'll see it. The pride is there. And I'm pissed. Matter of fact, I'm pissed because the movie Ghostbusters Afterlife was supposed to drop this summer, but now they push it back to next year. Or should I say push it forward?
See, we finally talk a movie I could talk about.
Oh, yeah. In my top five. Easy. The movie I quote most in my life, besides like Beverly Hills Cop, is Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but Sheen, they like the new one, though. That's their favorite.
No, I haven't seen it.
No, it's not.
They said they hate the old ones. They like the new one. That's the one they like.
Well, that would make my next story completely ludicrous.
Yeah, we didn't play Little League with Melissa McCarthy's kid.
See, the thing is, I was kind of back and forth about it for a while. It took me to like the third time I watched it. And since I have a daughter, to me, when she starts singing Ghostbusters, I think that's really where I was just like, all right, this movie's not for me. It's for the younger generation to, you know, have something to enjoy. And I don't know. I mean, my daughter loved it, and especially because it's a very strong, positive woman's film with great comedy. And, you know, they needed a little bit more, I would say, on my end from all the actresses. And, but I mean, overall, I thought it was a good movie for, you know, little girls and just women empowerment and stuff like that. So that's my take on it.
I have not seen the new one, to be very honest. I don't have a daughter, I haven't felt obligated. But now that you've said it so eloquently, I might check it out. It's on the list.
No, I was going to say, I'm a big Kate McKinnon fan, so maybe I'll check it out.
There you go.
I wasn't in a rush, but maybe I'll check it out.
We played Little League and went to middle school with Bill Murray's oldest son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he and I were pretty good friends. Been to his house a bunch of times, mm-hmm. You know, knew his dad very well. And
that's cool.
I actually threw a perfect three innings of Little League when Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray were at the game.
Oh, wow. Nice. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. That was before my arm fell off when I was 12. Yeah, yeah. I'm the only kid that gets hurt in Little League throwing pitches. But
you peaked early. It's all right. I had tendonitis when I was 12, too.
Yeah, I peaked early. It's, I mean, it is what it is.
Same thing.
I accept it.
Same thing happened to me because I was an infielder, and then summer All-Stars, they put me in center field, and I threw my arm out because I was I was throwing from the outfield. I was so used to throwing, like, I was playing second base. I was throwing 3 feet to my left, and now I'm throwing from, like, the center field wall.
So there are two funny-ass Bill Murray stories I got for you. So the first one, I was probably 15, sophomore year of high school, Homer's freshman year. We were invited to Bill Murray's Christmas party.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, wild. That's what? Awesome. Like, cool. Homeboy chased us around the kitchen with a butcher knife just to entertain the children. Like, just straight up chased us around. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm always going to be able to say Bill Murray chased me around his kitchen with a butcher knife.
You should put this out there.
I would.
People are going to try to cancel him.
I don't know if I'd be scared out of my wits or excited to be.
Oh, it was positive. Incredible. He was laughing the whole time. It was fun. It was awesome. And the second one, so when I was in college, my girlfriend and I are at the mall, and Palisades Mall is huge, and I saw him from across the way, but I'm never one to, like, shout someone out. Don't want to draw attention to them. Not going to be an asshole. And so I don't say anything. And my girlfriend at the time had no idea that I knew him. And he starts screaming my name in the middle of the mall. Like, I was the important one. Like, going, Chris, you're big leaguing me? What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, my fucking God. Bill Murray's screaming at me in a mall. And he walks over. He introduces himself. And I've never been more embarrassed in my life. But it was fucking awesome. She liked me for another couple months after that. So it worked out.
Gotta get in.
That's funny.
I thought so. Let's talk some tag team wrestling before we completely go off the rails again.
Yep.
What makes a great tag team?
I mean, I know once I get started, I can keep going. So I'll let Gio start it off.
Well, there's got to be common goals here. Common goals. So I think the reason that Shaheem and I worked out is because we both had plan in mind to work at Ring of Honor. It was a goal of ours. We didn't think we were going to be a tag team. I don't think that was even, like, on the radar when we first started there. We went to go try out. But having those same goals in mind, being on the same page, definitely, like, put us on the right path. And probably, like, looking up to the same guys, looking up to, like, guys like the Briscoes and the Machine Guns, when we both had those similar favorites in mind.
Idols.
Kind of had an idea of what we wanted to do. Yeah, exactly.
The people you idolize in tag team wrestling, if that's what you're going after, you know, I guess for our experience, you know, the people we idolize, like he said, the Briscoes and Motor City Machine Guns and stuff like that, it was more, you got to learn each other. You really have to learn each other and know what you both can do. Mm-hmm. And when you match them together, it's kind of like, you know, if you ever played the app Strike Force, and this is a nerd part of me, the Marvel Strike Force app, you know, you can, when you and your other get together, man, it's like, it's magic once you really get on the same page. And I mean, we've had tons of tag moves that people have seen and people didn't see because we had we found our niche going, you know, match to match. And at the same time, anytime we got a chance to train, there was always something that we were cooking up. So always be one. And
yeah, you know, it's funny that we our experience is a little weird, a little different than most people. a lot of the experimentation was done in the ring, live on TV or whatever, because they threw us together, and it's not like we had a common place that we were training at all the time. So a lot of the stuff that we were doing was like, we figured it out at the event right before the show started, or like even during the match, we would find things that would work. It wasn't like a scenario where we were training together every day and getting prepared. It wasn't until we went to Germany that we really got to train together all the time and like come up with stuff. So yeah. Like we had a weird, I guess a weird start to our tag team career.
So talk about that time in Germany. How did that really bring you guys together?
Oh man. When we first got on the, when we were getting on the plane and all that stuff, you know, everything kind of felt so, I felt like United States was so small now, because like in the sense of we were about to go from one part of the country to the next, and it's like we have no idea what to expect. So the excitement, the rush, the nervousness geared us up for the, you know, literally the same time that we landed. What was it, like a few hours later we performed?
Yeah, we got to Dusseldorf, had to figure out the whole train situation.
Oh god.
Once we figured that out, we took a train like an hour to where the academy was, and then within like an hour or two we were wrestling one of the top teams in all of Europe, or really in the whole world, with the Aussie Open.
Yeah.
So if you watch WXW or anything, like if you follow any wrestling from the UK, that's, those guys are like some of the, you know, two of the best guys. But I think it's the fact that we were experiencing it all together at the same time is what helped us bond even more. You know, it wasn't like I had gone over there already and then he was just coming to join me. Like, we were experiencing everything for the first time together, and just enjoying every single second of it. Like, that's the most we've ever spent together. I mean, we've done road trips with ROH and stuff like that, but that's only a few days at a time. This was the first time we were, you know, bunking together, training together, eating together, like traveling together, doing literally everything together, laundry together. It makes you so much stronger as a team. Like, you just learn a lot more about each other. Like, I had known him for years, but being with them for seven or eight weeks straight together every day, you learn so much more about that person that you're with. And it helps you in the ring.
Oh, yeah. You know? It got to the point where we realized how like good we had it, because literally it didn't matter, you know, what like time between 8 and I'd say what? Anytime really, because we had the keys. We could just go in and just kind of let off steam and stuff like that. So, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning maybe, just roll around for the hell of it, or go bust out a small workout or something if you can't sleep or whatever, you know. And it became,
just to give you background, like we lived in an apartment that was above the dojo.
Yes.
So you had the academy, and then like a couple floors up was where we stayed. So we had the keys; we could just go down and work out whenever we wanted. So it was amazing.
It was great. And then I really think that we grew as a tag team as well when we started to host training. They actually gave us certain days that we would actually train different groups. We wind up training from the kids all the way up to people who were basically ready to be close to have their first match. So we had different classes that we trained. I think that helped us grow together, and it helped us kind of learn how it would feel like to be leaders. I really was thrown back in a great way, and I just, still to this day, I'm still like, man, I want to train people now for their, you know, remaining part of my career, besides, you know, perform. If I could do both, that'd be great. But I know for sure one day, I know I'm definitely, I have to be a trainer and give back, because it felt great when we did it.
I'm amazed that anybody can handle anyone in close proximity for 8 straight weeks. I know Greg and I would not be tag team partners in podcasting if we had to live together for 8 straight weeks. No shot.
Even less 8 days.
I would drive him nuts. Yeah.
We barely survive vacations at the Jersey Shore.
No, we always survived those, but that's because my brother was there too.
Mediator.
Yeah. No, you were the mediator. My brother and I were at each other's throats. Let's be real.
That's fair.
So,
oh, God.
Hey, man. Listen, this has been a weird week for me. And I don't know if you know this story yet, LSG, but I just found out I have a twin brother.
Get the fuck out of here.
Apparently, I have a twin brother. You guys know him.
What?
Monster Mac.
Oh,
shit.
I was like, I know where this is going.
So apparently Colin put us in touch because he wanted to rib me that I was going to be looking at my twin the whole time. And I just thought we had an amazing interview. And then I catch him after the Synergy show and he's like, hey guys, this is Chris. He's Monster Mac's twin. And fucking Gotch and Pratt are dying laughing at me. And I'm like, am I
real? They did the Spider-Man pointing me. And you're like, what?
Yeah, well, exactly. Oh. I showed my wife and she agreed too. And I was like, I guess it's real. So I found out I have a twin brother this week. So it's, very interesting. Yeah. I've already been threatened.
We all have lookalikes. Apparently I have a lookalike too. Everyone says I look like TJP and it pisses me off. I'm like, I'm way better looking than him. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here with that shit. Come on now.
I mean,
I can't see it. I can't see it at all.
I don't see it. That's, but even my girlfriend says that. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Stop.
Greg, do you have a doppelganger?
Christ, I hope not. That poor bastard. I do, man. I went to a kid in high school. In high school, like he was a year above me. He looked exactly like me.
And that's not a fun doppelganger.
Yeah,
dude.
It wasn't because his name was like Serge, so everyone called me Serge. So I had to but then going back to Beverly Hills Cop, I had to tell everybody it's pronounced Serge. And Serge. But then to no luck, I was way better looking than him too.
Now I want to watch Beverly Hills Cop.
It's the best. I just watched it like last week. It's still one of the funniest movies ever. Still holds up. It's 36 years old.
Did they ever do the TV reboot?
No. That actually fell through the cracks. Yeah.
Right? It was supposed to, right?
There was that, then that got scrapped, and then they were going to do a new movie with Eddie Murphy. Like, that's on his schedule. But then, COVID. Because I saw an interview with him.
Damn COVID?
Yeah. I saw an interview with him when he was the Dolomite movie that's on Netflix. And he, like, I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
That's awesome.
I got to add that to my list. And then, but he was doing that interview and he was talking about how, like, the list of movies he has scheduled.
I can't do the rest.
And Beverly Hills Cop 5 was up there, or 4, or whatever it is, whatever number they were at, is there now. So, whatever, we'll see.
How many did they make?
Three. 3 was in the amusement park.
Yes, I remember that.
I didn't see that one.
I definitely didn't see that one.
2 was very good.
I miss those kind of...
They don't make movies like that anymore. Everything's so sanitized, and you can't curse in movies anymore. You can't be funny.
We'll do one.
And just can't be overly violent. Like, that's...
We're going to be the new Lethal Weapon. The new Lethal Weapon reboot.
Again?
That would be fun. Can you be the bad guys?
Yeah, sure.
That's fine with me.
Greg, think you can handle being a bad guy?
Bad guy in a Lethal Weapon movie? No.
Yeah. Why?
We're going to be the guys that like die in the first 10 minutes that they have to avenge. We're not equipped to be bad guys.
I'm equipped to be a bad guy. Who are you talking about?
I'm very self-aware. Yeah,
they're going to be like The Rock and Sam Jackson. They're going to be like The Rock and Sam Jackson, the other guys.
Yeah.
Jump off the roof and die.
That's a clip I just watched like recently, was when they keep getting bribed by the guy. It's like, no more water. Like, Mark, that is my favorite Mark Wahlberg role in the other guys. He is so funny. I saw it in the theaters. I was really drunk in the middle of the day when I saw that movie. And damn, the movie cracks me up.
Dirty Mike. You see the boys with you. Dirty Mike and the boys.
Gotta see a movie drunk.
And we're officially off the rails.
Bye-bye rails. Yes. It's all good.
Nah, just talking shit, you know.
Did you happen to see your second favorite baseball team, the Nationals, taking infield practice with Zubaz on today?
I did not see that. That would make me puke.
I saw it, and I was like, this has got to be conflicting, because Zubaz belongs to wrestling, and now the Nationals are wearing them.
That company's still in existence?
Yeah, man.
They are. They're still in
existence. Can you imagine the shitty office that the Zubaz headquarters has? It's like three guys with one desk. in a corporate park. Just
dude, people still buy them. Like Cheeseburger just posted a picture of him and his mom wearing them because she liked them so much he bought her a pair.
Yes.
Like he posted it yesterday.
Amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he bought her like a pair of pink ones.
Yeah, I've never worn them before. I heard they're super comfortable.
I would totally
maybe
wear
maybe
them.
One day.
I'll wear them to work.
You need the Zubaz string. No, man, I don't know. You need the fanny pack.
So you need to dress like Anthony Green. Got it. Now, do you both own fanny packs?
I do.
And do you wear them out frequently?
No. Only time I wear it is if I'm going to go like work out at the park and I need somewhere to keep my stuff. That's it. I'm not one of those like carny ass motherfuckers that wears a fanny pack anywhere. I'm a grown man. I have a wallet in my back pocket.
That's gonna be my
fanny pack. I'll wear it anyway.
That's gotta be the soundbite for the episode.
I'm gonna use that timestamp. I'm gonna march upstairs and say I need a fanny pack, and here's why. She'll go for it if I use that excuse. If it's for me to go have my stuff when I go for a walk, she'll buy it, and then let me get one. I'm gonna try this.
See, the way I wear it, when I do wear it, I clip it on, then I spin it to the back. That way I can run and I can do stuff. I don't having it just sitting in front.
So like Rick Steiner with his title belt, you wear it backwards?
Yep.
Yep. farting on your gimmick bag, man. That ain't right.
I can't be running and having the fanny pack just flapping on my junk.
So you'd rather it give you a light spanking? Oof. I don't understand.
Ooh. A little tap tap. No good.
It keeps you going. No, it's good. it's like a jockey with the stick in a horse race. Help me.
Why is your ass bruised? I got slapped by my fanny pack.
Yeah, my phone was at the bottom of my fanny pack and it kept hitting me.
Oh, Christ. Things you did not think you would be talking about tonight.
See, my wife won't let me have one because she know I'll either lose it or ruin it. It's not that it's stupid. It's like, you'll just ruin it. Why am I spending money? That's what she would say. She's right. I'm not very responsible.
I wanted to get my father-in-law one. And my wife said I wasn't allowed to because she would wear it.
Maybe I'll buy one tonight. I have one in a ripped, so maybe I need a new one.
Are they like on pro wrestling tees, or am I going on to like Amazon?
Probably Amazon.
Yeah, it's fannypack.org. They're not for profit.
I'm going to do this right now.
I'm going to go to Amazon.
My wife lately has never interrupted. Project
Rock and Under Armour stuff, so I'm going to look for an Under Armour one.
So you guys might get to experience the first time I ever get yelled at on a podcast. Nice. I am currently ordering a fanny pack.
I mean, if...
Can you focus? We're trying to do a show here. Come on.
Greg, you can ask a question. I'm going to find a fanny pack.
I don't want to ask a question. I don't like questions.
Well, you love a question.
I do.
Shoot.
So as a tag team, when you're traveling together, do you guys have like the same taste in shit you can watch, like when you're rooming together, or do you have to like fight over the remote? Like, what's your deal?
No, I mean, let's see. If we're on a road to a hotel, or ROH, we'll literally watch anything from like Ghost Adventures, whatever the hell that's called, to like action movies, to Sports Center, like anything. We don't really fight over that kind of stuff. But then in Germany, where we had access to a library and internet, we just watched wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Wrestling all night.
Yeah, right.
Shaheem's got good taste in wrestling, so whatever he puts on, like, I'm cool with it. Watch old stuff, new stuff, indie, independent wrestling, you know.
Especially because in hotels, it's very limited to the channels, so.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. But German TV is good because half of the country speaks English, like, absolutely fluently.
Well, we didn't have cable there. We just had the internet. So we would just watch a lot of Netflix or, like, YouTube.
They frown upon porn in Germany.
Really?
Not that I know that from experience, but...
I didn't know that.
A little bit. A little bit. Except...
It's frowned upon here.
In the middle of the night might as well be porn. Those were amusing.
That might have been the longest stretch that I didn't watch any.
What is it?
The 7 minutes. I don't know how... I can't believe that. I went like 7 weeks without watching it. And I'm thinking about it now. Like, damn. Wow.
I ordered a glow blue fanny pack.
Wow.
She's going to murder me.
She's going to put your corpse in that fanny pack.
Why?
Nah, it's essential.
At all times. You should wear it in the bed.
Just in case.
I mean, if that's the case, my porn addiction might go up.
What does that even mean? Good Christ, what does that mean?
That means he's going to leave him. It means that I need to watch more.
Are you going to have it on in your fanny pack?
Have to get that.
I don't know.
He's going to need that premium account, that Pornhub premium.
I didn't know that was a thing, so you win.
Nah, I mean... Yeah, but you can always keep the lube in there, so let's go.
I mean, yeah, you could put things in there, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you could put in there.
Yeah. Greg, what's something you would put in your fanny pack?
In my fanny pack? Snacks. It's mostly snacks.
What kind of snacks?
I like the Trader Joe's like nuts and chocolate mix. That's nice and healthy. And
yeah, I always put nuts and chocolate in my fanny pack.
Just above my nuts.
You know, healthy and shit.
I gotta be, man. But whatever, just anything really. A miniature bottle of water.
A miniature.
Bus fare? I don't know.
Dude, you should wear one when you go back to work.
Emergency.
Yeah. I think it would get in the way of me making for like emergency salads and shit. It'd be too cumbersome. I gotta move fast, man. I'm always running around at work. I only got a week's left of vacation after having off for 4 months, so. Jeez. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You guys have been in the ring with an absolute who's who. What are some of your favorite matches that you would guide your fans to? Like, if they wanted to see your favorite coast-to-coast matches, where would they go?
Yeah, I'd say probably Honor Club or even like WXW's service. But probably Honor Club. That's where you're going to see all those, like, that one stretch was in 2018 where we just, like, wrestled all the best teams in the world, like, we wrestled everybody from, like, Temporal Boys, who are now Roppongi 3K, to the Best Friends, mm-hmm. the Machine Guns, War Machine, the Briscoes, the Kingdom, anybody you could think of, we wrestled them. All those matches are going to be in there.
What do you think, Shaheem?
Yeah, I hope so. like you said, Honor Club, I'm hoping that they be honored coast to coast and put all of our stuff in there. At the same time, I think that we've had a few matches where, and this is where it kind of sucked for us kind of getting out a little bit more, was we did a lot of stuff on live, and that wasn't that the live stream stuff. Not a lot of that you'll find, because obviously, like I said, it was live. So matches that I can say that I did like, I enjoyed when we wrestled against the Young Bucks and Tempura Boys. That was an exciting match. The match that we had with War Machine before they left, and
we sent them packing. They've never been found. Yeah, never been seen again.
At least in our witch. the match that we had with, I want to say, I don't know, Gio, help me out with this one. What's another one would you say? Because there were certain matches I did really like. But then I don't want to say the wrong one. You'd be like.
No, man, we had a lot of good ones. We had a lot of good ones. But yeah, there's ones that I don't even know where the hell we could find them. Like, we wrestled guys like Sent to Slaughter, you know, Dan Moff and Sean Donovan. I'm like, I don't even know where the hell that match is. But that's indie wrestling. I mean, that comes with the job. Sometimes you're never going to see that match again. You got to remember it up here. Or even like when we went down to Mexico. Where the hell is that match? I don't even know where to find that.
Yeah, right? You have to find the fan version filmed.
Yeah.
Who did you guys like?
Alex Kuglin and basically the LA Dojo.
So if you guys call Fredericks and
Carl, yes. Calvin,
yeah. So if you've seen those guys, the LA Dojo guys, Shibata students, we had a couple matches.
All the students, they're just amazing. They're doing great right now too.
We actually talked to John Davis on Monday, and brought up something interesting that I hadn't really thought about. That Ring of Honor really kind of led the way in tag team wrestling for like a chunk of 10 years.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
I remember when I was watching Ring of Honor religiously as a teenager, right before I started wrestling, that was around the time of like the faction warfare. You had like ridiculous amount of tag teams. You had Briscoes, you had No Remorse Corps, you had Sweet Sour Incorporated, Vulture Squad, Resilience, dude, there's just so many. I'm probably missing a few, but like Hangman 3, like they did so well with tag team wrestling. And then even if you go further back, like Irish Airborne and some of the other teams, like at the SAT, like just ridiculous amount of tag teams. It's just like, That's really what got me into tag wrestling. Because before that, I mean, I watched WWE, and I got to see like the classics, you know, between the Dudleys and the Hardys and Edge Christian. But like after that happened, it was kind of like there was a lull. There was like a kind of a time where the tag wrestling wasn't a priority in WWE. So my attention went into ROH, and like they had all the best tag teams.
Yeah, I agree.
Growing up, I absolutely loved tag team wrestling. I don't really even know why. Probably just the number of larger than life characters in the ring at one time just kind of made it cool for me. And then watching what's gone on in the major companies, even like AEW, I think while they have the best tag teams in the, you know, currently, like I would say the majority of them, their division still doesn't seem like it would compare to that 2004 to 2019 ROH.
Yeah, me. with that.
Right now, LSG has a screen on blank, and all I notice is that one nipple sticks out of the picture, and it's fucking hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Why is his nip on the edge of the picture?
How are you standing so that's physically possible?
Like, this is the picture I use for my GM. I'll cover up, sorry.
He didn't even notice. I'm the one that snitched him out on it. Now he knows and he's uncomfortable. I noticed that once I put out that we were going to reunite you guys, there was some people that were real excited. When do we get to see that happen in a ring?
Well, well, you know, I'll say this. I don't think it's going to happen in ROH. If it happens, it's going to be somewhere else, somewhere that actually will appreciate us. So I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
we're going to make a huge push that happens somewhere.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be real.
I don't know. You never know.
Absolutely needs to happen.
AEW is looking kind of nice. Impact's looking kind of nice. MLW, you never know. Cut. I mean, dude, they
we weren't.
I'll say this candidly: like they cut our balls off. Like we had so much left to do. We had so much left to do, and they cut our balls off.
He said they cut our balls off.
That's the
and
that's
the strongest. They forced us to split. So I mean, that's where. They forced us to split, and the beginning of the year happens. It's like, okay, you split us up to do what? And then what are we doing? What was the point of splitting us up? So who knows? Maybe it just wasn't in the cards. It wasn't working out there, but maybe it'll work somewhere else. We have a lot left to do. You know, we came back from Germany better than ever, and I don't think they ever really, like, gave us a chance to show what we did over there. We killed it over there overseas.
Yeah, we got played out on the way back in, coming from Germany. I still don't understand that based off of the service and the time that we put in and the care that we had for the company, and it just, you know, started out to seem well, and then I don't know, on the back end it just kind of died out, and there was no explanation for it, even though we would point things out to the office and things like that, and it just kind of like we just lost touch, even though we were on the road still together with everybody. And you know, I still don't understand that.
Yeah, timing's everything, but you never know. Maybe it's just like we need to go away for a little bit for people to miss us. And it's funny because, like, when we did break up, the amount of love we got, it made me feel like proud of what we did, because people were upset about it, and it showed us how much that people appreciated it. So that was kind of cool. It was bittersweet.
So many people reached out. So many people retweeted and tweeted and was like, what's going on? Like, what, you know, and it was hard to, you know, try and make people feel, you know, good or make people feel okay with what was happening, because it was put out to make it seem that me and LSG kind of couldn't get along, and that really wasn't the case. I mean, granted, you know, there might be some things that happened in the ring or that happened backstage that me and him might, you know, butt heads, but that's what teams do. That's what people do. Like, you know, when you're trying to put the best out. You know, and there was never any issue with me and LSG. It's just, you know, like, the company didn't really care for us. And at the time, there were people who were threatening our job within the company that, you know, now, you know, they're biting themselves in the butt a little bit, because, you know, there were certain people there that was causing trouble, and they didn't realize until the person was gone. And it was kind of like, hey, I told you so. But at that point, we were already done. They were already done with us. So,
Let's just say there's people who are have issues outside of wrestling that were trying to ruin our careers. That's okay, because now they're in the trash and we still got plenty to go.
I have a million comments, but I'm gonna be smart here. Just leave it alone. We'll talk off air.
We should. Ain't nothing. This is wrestling. Everything is exposed at this point in time. So you know, we can talk about whatever. I'm a grown ass man. I'll say exactly what I want. And anybody that has a problem with what they hear after this, come talk to me. Hey.
Yep.
What's up?
The floor is yours. Go numbers. For it. Like, whatever. Who are we afraid of? We
like, come on. I ain't afraid of shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what do we got? I ain't afraid of shit. Go off. Like, this is a forum for you guys to say your piece, man. Go on.
Yeah.
I'm curious now. Let me move up my couch.
I mean,
I'm not gonna name a specific name, but it's a person who is actively trying to tear down the company and like going after people for different various things when he should probably look at himself in the mirror and fix himself. He's like very bitter and he's got problems that he needs to get sorted out, not only mentally, but like, you know, with substance abuse. So he needs to work on himself and, you know, I wish him the best, but people like that are poisonous, they're toxic. And all they do is bring everything down. They bring down talent, they bring down morale. And they stunt growth within the company. You know, they have their own agendas, and we need to weed people like that out of the business. We need people there that want to foster growth and development and stuff like that. So now with that person out of the picture, maybe there's a future for us in Ring of Honor again as a team. We'll see. There's still a lot for us to do. I love that company. I love the wrestlers there. I love everybody there. So I would love to maybe revisit this one day. I think people would really love it, like love to see us back together again.
We were just getting started, put it like that. And I feel like when the thing that pisses me off still to this day, and probably because I'm a Scorpio, I don't let shit go, because until it's figured out or I get an answer from it, it's just on my mind, in the back of my mind at this point, but I'm bringing it to the front for everybody. When we came back from Germany, I felt as though the morale and the care and the honesty between grown men, no matter if it's business or fucking not, you need to speak to us. And there was email sent out, there was phone calls, there was face-to-face stuff. And I just always felt like people were ducking and dodging. And it was just like, yo, like, we're your fucking boys. Like, we've been here for 5+ years trying to prove ourselves from the, you know, from the ground floor and up, you know. And what a lot of people don't know is that LSG and I, we were part of crew for, you know, for a while. And then, you know, at one point, you know, Gio stepped off, but I continued doing it because I wanted to, and he at the same time, when we first got in there, before we got our first contract, you know, we were hardworking. Like, we were in the trenches with the ring crew. And, you know, there's a stigma or this rumor that, you know, people from ring crew don't make a good career out of, you know, getting out of the ring crew scene or whatever. But it was like, look, to me, I look at it almost like, I wouldn't say a samurai code, but more so like, I really, you know, and the same as LSG, we had honor and trying to start from the ground floor and work our way up to show these people like, hey, we're company guys.
Right.
We'll start at the bottom as if we're fresh and brand new.
Yeah.
Like, don't know what's going on.
People should never look down on people who do ring crew or like do those extra things. Like, I don't know if you guys know this. Look at the referees in WWE. They don't just show up and throw on the referee shirt and get out there and ref matches. They all have multiple jobs. You have guys that are handling talent in the back, guys that are doing ring crew, people who are just doing different things in the back, you know, relaying messages and just helping the show going along. You know, there's pride in like doing these other jobs, but for some reason in some places it's looked down upon, which is just ridiculous. It's like, it's, you're looked down upon for having good work ethic. It should never be like that. It just shows that you truly care. I mean, we cared about the company and we paid our dues, and But sometimes it's looked down upon. I'll never understand that.
And don't get it twisted. Ain't nobody fucking complaining or whining about shit.
Right.
We're just putting out the facts that no one ever knew about, because that's the thing with professional wrestling. You only see certain parts that, you know, the camera lets you see, or what you might hear from a write-up or rumors or whatever. But no one really knows the coast-to-coast backstory. We busted our fucking asses for quite some time. And granted, not every match was a banger. Not every match got up to 4 stars or 3 stars by whoever's fucking write-ups. But there was always something positive that someone had to say about a match that we did. Even whatever it was, we always had something that people had to take away and be like, hey, these guys are going to be something special. And it doesn't make sense that no one could ever truly sit down with us in 2018 and 2019 and just kind of let us know what the future beholds. It was kind of like, you know, you come, you wrestle, you go home, until there was something that they wanted to run with. And it wasn't, you know, I think what, 2018, I jacked my neck up and I got in a car accident and I had to rush back to the company, you know, not fully cleared, but cleared, you know, I was 90% well, just so that Coast to Coast could get a chance to wrestle the Briscoes. And nobody understands that, you know, it's not easy to get into a car accident, have 6 herniated discs in your neck, and bust your ass, you know, to get back to a company that, you know, is in the limbo of giving a shit about you. And, you know, like I was going back to it, 2019 was horrible. at least from my perspective, it was horrible.
True. It was. It was.
We were at the rise, I think, when we left. I think the changing showed when we came back, but we were put in a position to where we were just the Coast to Coast guys now. We weren't
weren't the guys that were challenging for the titles a couple months before, you know?
Yeah, and
we were undefeated for the entire year and came back and it was like started from the bottom again. Which, I mean, that's okay, we're up for the challenge, but you could definitely tell that it was just different. It was very different.
It felt weird. It's like we were two cowboys, you know, coming back from a long travel. We're walking through the same places, you know, we're walking through town and everybody knows our name, but now it's kind of like everyone's just staring at us a little bit differently. Everyone's got a different feel. And then that's not talking about the roster guys and all, but it was just like there was just a different vibe that we started to feel it was not comfortable. And then you had other people, you know, in, you know, people's ear talking about us and just making us, you know, seem like we just weren't important. And it, you know, it worked, I guess, in some sort of way, because now we're not there. And I just feel like there's some unfinished answers, unfinished business there. And like Gio said, there is no hard feelings. It's just there was never a true meeting. There was never an honorable meeting, so to speak, that kind of let us know like what the fuck was up, because we definitely should have been in a better position, and we should have had our voices heard, which they weren't, even though we would, you know, let people know how we felt. And to be honest, I mean, even I would assume, Gio, you kind of knew about it, but you know, I started to go through different depression times and stuff like that because of how people were kind of manipulating. It seemed like they were manipulating, you know, the powers that be to kind of not give a shit about us, and it kind of hurt my feelings because I'm just like, yo, we've been here for some time, you know. And when you put in the work and you give a shit about a place so much, and then it kind of doesn't give it back anymore, it's kind of like, well, what the fuck did we do wrong? Could you tell us? Because I haven't heard anything. And I was at the point where
We felt like Will Smith in the empty living room. That's how we felt.
<That's> feeling like you were the odd person, feeling like you were the odd team out was probably one of the worst things in 2019. And I just want answers, man. That's just where I'm at, because that'll help me clear up some things, so I know how to, you know,
yeah,
look at things a different way,
right,
look at the company a different, yep, way, mm-hmm, than it made me feel in the end.
Yeah, I think for me, like, because it's been such a weird, I mean, especially this year is like a wash. I've been trying to do some like self-reflection and almost taking like all that negative energy from last year and just spinning it and like using it as motivation, so that when things are back to normal, they have no choice but to give me a second chance, or give us together a second chance. Because like, I'm not the kind of person to just lay down and die. And I know, like Shaheem said, he's going to hold on to that forever. It's just going to burn him. It's going to burn inside him. And I'm the same way. So I've been just spending the whole quarantine just like trying to improve myself and just stay focused, because I know there's guys who are probably not that focused. They're probably just like, they're comfortable. They're comfortable with their spot. They're content. But you know what? I'm going to do whatever the hell it takes. And I know if we get on the same page again, we're going to do whatever it takes to take that shit.
Hungry, hungry, and I'm going to keep saying that shit, hungry as fuck. And people don't understand. I'm telling you, if we get back together and we get back on TV where we belong, I'm telling you, y'all, whoever, whatever company that we're at, people are going to pay attention yet again. People are going to understand again that we don't play no games. And there's always more to see from LSG and me, Ali, Chocolate Man.
C2C.
The place to be, you know. But go ahead. Next question.
How do we follow that? Come on.
Dude, all right, this is the most. You guys have been able to get the most in-depth,
yeah,
interview of anybody.
But here's the thing, like, and I could just tell by the way you guys are talking that whatever negatives happened in the past, like you said, if it does turn out that you guys get back together, it's, you're going to turn that and use that energy into a huge success, and that's amazing. Yes. That's how it should be. That, you know, like, yep, anything like that, like in any job, that's how you, or whatever happens in your life, that's how you have to look at it. So mm-hmm. It's admirable for you guys not to just, you know, like you said, not going to roll over and die. You're just going to come back bigger, better, and stronger. And that's awesome. And I'm scared shitless of whoever has to face you guys next. Jesus Christ. But no, man, like, you guys go get yours, because you're stand-up dudes. And you're ridiculous talent. So sorry for kissing your ass and being a little bit of a dweeb, but like, I have to, because you guys just fired me up right now. Like, I,
yeah. And the thing is, it's like our story, it's relatable. I mean, people have go through this stuff too, with regular jobs, with relationships, there's different things, friendships, and just different obstacles in life. People have gone through the same things with us. And so I hope that people see our journey and like, can be inspired by it, because we started from the bottom. We started from the bottom, worked our way up. We hit the top, and I fell all the way back down. And hopefully, we start rising again. You know, that's life. It sucks, but it's life. And hopefully, people learn from our journey.
But that's why I feel that way. Literally, like, I just went through that with my job, and
yeah,
I'll, you know, open it up a little bit in here and get a little personal. It's just, I just got called yesterday that I'm finally going back to work, and I'm excited and everything. Mm. But what had happened was I had gotten laid off because they restructured during COVID, and I had to accept a position that was a demotion and half my salary just so I can keep my benefits, because I have a family. I can't just, nobody's hiring. I just kept, right. I had to keep my health insurance. I have a baby coming in a month. Like, this, I had to do what I had to do. The money didn't matter. I needed the things that were important. And I waited it out, and I had a boss that took care of me. My big boss was like, he kept me out knowing that I was making more money sitting at home. And until something opened up and I was the first guy on his list, and I'm going back to like a promotion now.
And
it's like,
that.
Yeah, and it's like, I have some, but I know forever, because I'm his guy, that he's always going to take care of me because he's that kind of person. And that's, it's so important. It's important. It doesn't matter what, you know, whatever job you have, every job you could have is important. It doesn't matter what you do. That's like going back to what you said about looking down on people. I don't care what you do for a living, but you need to have that support system around you. And bringing it back to wrestling, you like, more than anything, you have to have that support system around you and guys that are going to go to bat for you.
And to be honest, I mean, I'll pull back a little bit of the curtain. LSG, you're one of the most straight up dudes, period. Just, you've been nothing but a friend to me. You know, I went through hell for a little while and you reached out. You didn't need to. You know, we did one interview before that, and
right.
Straight up, it meant the world to me, and Greg knows that because I talked to him off the show about it.
Yeah,
you know, like it's when good people get fucked over, it really pisses me off. And the reality is that hit list that you guys have hidden somewhere,
yep,
it's gonna be fun. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you may have thrown, you know, Myron Reed on notice before. Earlier on today,
I did. I saw that, you know, he's putting some feelers out that he wants to defend his championship. So I mean, hey, you know, I'm a free agent. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Just say my name. Say the word.
And check.
Where's that take my money meme?
Yep. Yeah.
I would love to see the two of you against him and Jordan Oliver too.
Ooh.
Please.
That would be fun.
If MLW wants that kind of hotness, I mean, we can bring the lava. You know?
Yeah.
That is the best line ever.
Yeah, man.
I'm just talking shit, man. I can't help it.
I just wrestled Jordan. I'll be glad to smack the shit out of him again.
Yeah, you need
to. We got him.
I know Shaheen will just throw his ass around. Shaheen will throw Reed around. I'll smack Jordan Oliver around. It'll be a good time.
Pop up anything.
We'll stir that pot tomorrow. We got him at 5 p.m. Cool. No doubt. Although we did have the line of the podcast, like, back channels. I send out the same message to everybody. What are we talking about outside of wrestling? You guys know it. I said it to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, nothing. I don't like anything but wrestling. And I'm just like, okay, cool. We can work with that, I guess.
Yeah.
But who would be on that hit list?
Uh-oh.
For singles or tag team?
Go both.
Honestly, man, for me, if I'm talking about singles, a lot of people that I really want to wrestle, obviously, are signed. So, man, if it was up to me, I would love to get into the ring with the Mad King. I got nothing but respect for him. I love his promos. I love his fucking matches, man. And I just love how real he is. Mad King is no games, man. And there's a lot of people out there that I'm watching, man. It's very hard. My buddy O'Shea Edwards, he makes waves, you know, not just on social media and stuff like that, but he's getting some stomping ground stuff going. And I'm trying to think, what's the one dude, man? Oh, my boy, Chris Bay.
Ooh.
Mr. Bay, every Bay. Every day is a bay day.
Maybe he'll start exhibition championship open challenge, and you could just whoop his ass.
Maybe
that'd be nice.
Like I said,
yeah.
Pop up. Baby.
I gotta fuel my list. I think I got tag and singles. Tag, I feel like we got some unfinished business. Like we're so much better than what we used to be. Like I would love another shot at the Bucks. That would be awesome. And I see the way AEW is, where they're like open to bringing in indie talent to, you know, to wrestle their guys. That'd be one on my list.
definitely the Lucha Bros. You know, I've wrestled Phoenix in singles, but didn't get to do the tag match. Even guys like Butcher and the Blade, we didn't get to wrestle them either. And then from the singles, there's a couple guys like Alex Zane. He's a guy that's like one of the best high flyers right now. And I would love to just like test myself against him and see how our styles clash. And then there's guys like Danhausen that I just want to smack around and just beat the shit out of, because I don't play games like that in the ring. But I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a fun match. I love tequila, so.
What about Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss?
Oh, that would be really fun. I've wrestled Joey before a bunch of times in like multi-man matches, and he's always fun to wrestle. But we've never done a straight up tag. And Sonny, that's our boy. We love Sonny.
Oh, Sonny.
That'd be a fun match. That'd be really fun. Absolutely. It's like all the local guys too, like doing it big. All the local talent, Jersey, New York, Philly, on a big stage. That'd be cool.
Well, you know who else? Granted, you know, I know they're married to ROH because they're one of the best that ROH has got. The Day Oneers, the Briscoes, the guys who really pull out the violent side of Coast to Coast. The aggressive side to Coast to Coast. Definitely will want to get in the ring with those. But the Briscoes, man, they're legendary.
The rematch is long overdue.
I definitely would want another go with Gresham and Lethal, of course.
Yes.
I'd have to say Roppongi 3K, man, our boys. Showing yo. We were married to those guys, you know, in the ring for quite some time, and we both grew as a tag team. They went off and became huge New Japan tag team, you know, stars. And we tried that over here in the States. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be cool to wrestle them again now that they've like evolved to something different. You know, I think at the time when we were wrestling them, they were still on Excursion, so they were like kind of trying to figure out who they were. They weren't like full versions of themselves yet. So it'd be fun to see like us, how we've matured versus, you know, the new versions of themselves.
I think they'd be a cool matchup. We were a part of their journey in America, and they were a part of our journey. And it's very important to be able to get that rematch, I think.
Yes.
Take our money now, just straight up. Take our money now. And listen, I'm just saying, you ever need somebody in your corner just one time, I'm right here. Listen, we don't want to take up your entire night. Why don't you guys plug social media, plug anything else that you want to get out, you know, to your audience. Mm-hmm. And we can't thank you guys enough for doing this with us. And, you know, I look forward to doing it again when you guys start taking the world by storm again.
Oh, yeah, anytime, man. Anytime. Yeah. I'm ready to talk, whether you're talking about life, we're talking about wrestling, you know, whatever, man. Video games, our wives, whatever, man. I'm fine. We talk all damn night, all damn day. Yeah. Just let me know. I'm back.
Yeah. I think, this Instagram Live idea, we might have to discuss it offline, but I think it'd be fun. I think people would want to see Coast to Coast on Instagram Live a few times, maybe once a week, do a little show.
I think they
kind of cool.
Be behind that.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, like, wrestling's weird right now.
I said, sweat it out with some Henny and some live.
Yeah.
And I really be talking about shit. Yeah. Then everybody's in trouble.
You know, I did think about initially when we came up with the idea of the Indie Lounge that our guests had to drink every time they avoided a question.
Oh, man.
And I thought that would be a whole lot of fun, but that would get so inappropriate so quickly.
But we've had one guest ever avoid a question.
Yes.
Ever.
Oh, boy.
It's only once.
It was in our
third interview.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
We were rookies. We're not rookies.
This is the most we've talked about wrestling in months.
We are the premier wrestlers podcast, period.
Cool. Yes.
For me, it's pretty much the same. Shaheem Ali 85 on Twitter. Hit me up, man. I'll talk to anybody, man. If anybody wants some advice, I mean, I'm not a therapist, but I'll listen and I'll give you my opinion. I'll be friends. We can have a nice little chat, whatever. You want to get on the PlayStation, hit me up. Let me know. Ali, I'm on there too. Yep. I'm good people. That's what people need to know. I'm good people. I like to joke. I like to laugh. I like to talk shit. I'm a human being, goddammit. Don't treat me just like a wrestler. I'm a human being. I love life. So let's talk. What's up? Chop him in. Go ahead, G.
Absolutely. People out there, if you need to ever talk to somebody, he's the one to talk to. He'll talk to anybody. For me, all across the board, it's Leon St. Giovanni, L-E-O-N-S-T Giovanni. Just look up LSG or the Ace of Space. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, OnlyFans. I'm just kidding.
You got thought about it.
No.
He only shows one nipple. That's it.
Yeah. Just one. but stay tuned to my social media because I've got some. I have a few things coming up. I know it's not a lot, but Wrestle Pro is running an event in Union, New Jersey, August 22nd. Synergy Pro Wrestling is running one in Hillsboro, August 29th. And then I'm heading back to Alaska with Wrestle Pro in September. That's all I've got. It's only about 3 or 4 shows, but I mean, it's better than nothing. I'm ready to get back to work. But stay tuned, follow the social media, and hopefully I'll have some more news for you guys.
You can follow us at DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. Please follow us on Instagram because I'm really bad at Instagram. you can follow me on Twitter at Chris_DDTHSLB. And we're going to keep bringing you the hottest interviews out there. You just never know when it turns into a shoot and we have a whole hell of a lot of fun.